Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What do we need to do to receive help from God? None of us like living in a world where there are so many things taking place beyond our control, and even in our own lives. So if God can help us, which He can, what must we do? How do we approach God? It's not going to be by arming ourselves or storing gold and silver or storing all kinds of food. Now, that may help temporarily. However, it has to be from within. And it has to start with a desire to repent of sin. And sin is the transgression of the laws of God. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God is ready to forgive and willing to forgive. But what must you do? Well, in repenting, you get on your knees and cry out to God and pour out your heart to Him. And then He forgives your sins. Do you get up off your knees and just go about your life the way you have before? Or what is it that you must do? Well, repentance means a complete change and turning around from your thoughts and your ways and how you have been living. And you must seek God. Jesus promised. He said, "Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Ask, and you shall receive." Now, those are the promises of Jesus Christ. So let's come here to Isaiah 55, and let's put that into a practical situation. First of all, to know what your sins are, you need to study the Ten Commandments. Because anything that is between you and God is an idol in your mind. And anything that you put before loving and obeying God is another God before God. So you need to assess your own life. You need to think about what your life is in relationship to the commandments of God, in relation to the teachings of the Bible and Jesus Christ. Now, here in Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 6, "Seek the Lord while He may be found," because there is coming a time when, in Jeremiah, he says, this people is so evil and awful, don't even lift up prayer for them, for I will not hear you. "Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Has to be a complete change of thinking. So what you need to do is to analyze what occupies your mind. Because whatever occupies your mind, that is the governing course of your life. Is it sex? Is it drugs? Is it pleasure? Is it improving yourself? But rather you need to ask the question, am I seeking God and His way? Do His thoughts, do His laws, do His commandments occupy my thinking? Too many people today have their minds blasted to ruination with music. And it occupies their minds. That's what governs them. Everything else is secondary to that. That's, as we've covered before, very narcissistic because it's only on yourself. Forsake His way. So think about your way that you need to forsake. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. So this has to be done with prayer, on your knees before God, and confessing your sins to God. all your Sabbath breaking, all of your idolatry, all of the sports and pleasures that you have done on the Sabbath day, breaking the Sabbath day, following the way of the world, all of the adultery, hatred, bitterness, sin, and wretchedness that has been in your life. You have to repent of the drugs. You have to repent of the things that are contrary to the Word of God. Drugs will never lead you to God. That's a fast track to Satan's destruction.
But really, it just makes things worse, yeah? Just run away from your problems. They're still there. Your body becomes so dependent on it, you know what I mean? You gotta pay the price. $50, gotta do it. I even ripped you off. Pills, you wanna know about the pills? They give it to you, get you all addicted, and then they cut you off, knowing that you're gonna chase it on the streets, $50 a pill, crazy. Once you're on it, and you need it, you're not even thinking about your goals and what you're trying to accomplish in life. You're just focused on that next rip.
Now here's how God will begin to help you, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, God will blot him out. But now what are you going to do when God gives you a clean slate? How are you going to live your life? What are you going to do? Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. You need to walk in the ways of God. Jesus said, John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And it's got to be through the true Jesus Christ, not the figment of the imagination of the Christianity of this world with a long-haired, effeminate, weak man. That's not the real Jesus. That's a figment of the imagination. The real Jesus was the one who was the God of the Old Testament manifested in the flesh. And he came to live a perfect life so that you can have your sins forgiven through the sacrifice of his life. But you cannot continue to live in sin. Now, we'll see that in just a minute. Now come to the very first chapter of the book of Isaiah, and here we find that the message of God has not changed. Now, as we have covered in the series that we have been going through about why God won't help us, well, here it answers for us in the first chapter. Because we are living in a world, we're living in a society that is so absolutely upside down and backwards that it is most difficult to understand where God is, what to do, how to do it. Now, Isaiah, the first chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 15. Because there are a lot of religious people out there saying, do this, do that, do the other, confess your sins to God, and you're saved, you're born again, now you don't have to keep the law. Not so. Not true. With that kind of religion, God says this. So that's why it's important that you do it the right way, because God will help you. God will intervene in your life. God is the only one who can change circumstances. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. See, without repentance, it isn't going to happen. You can't just go ahead and have some ritual and then everything is taken care of. God wants a change of thought, a change of heart, a change of way of living, a change of attitude, a change in everything That is called conversion. And it begins with repentance and baptism. Then after that, now verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Come out of your sin, get out of the rottenness of it. Leave it all, forsake it. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes and cease to do evil. Stop having idols before God. Stop taking his name in vain. Stop breaking the Sabbath. Stop dishonoring your parents. Stop committing adultery and sexual sins. Stop hatred and murder of the heart and actual murder that some people have done, and they need to repent of that as well. And then stop all your adultery. Stop all your pornography. Stop all your drugs. Stop all your covetousness. Begin keeping the commandments of God. All right? Notice what he says here. Verse 17, learn to do good. I just explained to you how to do that. To do the good that is the good of God. Now remember, there's a counterfeit good, which brings a temporary benefit, but is actually a curse. And that is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the way that the world is going. So when you're on your knees before God and you're repenting of your sins, you confess them directly to God the Father. You don't need a priest. You don't need another man. You don't need someone else. It is directly between you and God. Okay? Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphans. Plead for the widow. Now, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Now he's saying, you come to me. We saw, seek God. So when you come to God, God says, all right, now we're going to reason together. First of all, you have to understand that God is perfect. So this reasoning is, you begin to understand why God's way is the best. So he says, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If, there is that big word, if you are willing and obedient. Now, I've just given some sermons on God always accepts godly repentance. And godly repentance is from the heart, from within, from the very depths of your being, confessing your sins and placing them all under the blood of Jesus Christ. But after that, you have to be willing and obedient. But notice, verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now let's see how we do that. Let's come to the New Testament, and let's see what the Apostle John wrote concerning repentance, concerning confessing our sins. And remember, God can forgive grave and deep sins, but you can't go back and live in them again. You can't just keep coming back and committing the same sins over and over again and then ask God to forgive you and not go forward. Now notice, this especially applies to those who believe they are Christian. Now there are millions of them out there. But you know, Jesus said in the day of judgment, when the resurrection comes, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done a lot of good things in your name? Yes, we had miracles, we did this, we did that, we did the other thing. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Why? Because they're workers of lawlessness or iniquity. They weren't willing and obedient. Will you be? That's how you love God. If we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, we keep his commandments. We'll see that right here. I've preached this many, many times, but now's the time to really get serious with it and do it. Notice verse 6. If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, we're lying to ourselves, and are not practicing the truth. All right, let's take that last phrase. Not practicing the truth. Let's ask the question, what is the truth? Well, God is true. His word is true. His commandments are true. His laws are true. His statutes are true. And every precept of God is true from the beginning. Nothing has been done away. Think on that. Because there is no way that you can have your sins forgiven unless you leave them, forsake them, as we read. Verse 7, however, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's why there's repentance. God will refresh you. God will renew you. But you've got to come back to God. Verse 8. Now notice John covers all the carnality of the mind and the thoughts, see? If we say we do not have sin, that is, we do not have a sinful nature, that is, to profess, well, we're good people. Jesus said, no one is good but God. So you need to think on that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, correct? Yes, indeed. If we say we do not have sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, are you willing and ready to confess your sins? Are you willing to put them away from you? Are you willing to have God forgive you for them? Then notice, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And how many people make God a liar? But you can't make God a liar, can you really? Because God is true and his word is true. See? So you can't say, oh, I haven't sinned. Oh, just a little over here, Lord. That's not bad. No. You need to confess your sins from the bottom of your heart. Now, let's come over here to chapter 5, and let's see what John says here concerning the love of God. Okay? And concerning commandment keeping. And we've covered some of this before. But, you know, the way we learn is to repeat, and the way we learn is to let it be engraved on our hearts and in our minds. That's what God wants. That's the whole purpose of repentance and receiving the Holy Spirit. That's the whole purpose of the new covenant, to have his laws written in our hearts and in our minds. Now, that's not doing away with them. That's writing them right within your very own being. And so this is what God wants you to do. So you need to forsake all the way of the world and all the way of your living and come to God. Now notice this, chapter 5 and verse 2. By this standard, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. There it is together. Forsake the evil and learn to do good. That's what Isaiah said. Here it's expressed a little differently, but a little more precisely, see? Learn to do the good. Here is the learning to do good. When you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, and when you keep his commandments. Now notice what a definition that this is. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Not a single one of them. They are all good. Do you believe that God is love? Probably do. Do you believe that God is true? Probably do. Do you believe that the way of Christ is the right way to go? Well, you probably do. Now then, Let's look at these scriptures back here in 1 John, the second chapter, which are very important for us to understand. And one of the first things we learn from this is that we are not to be seduced by a false Christianity offering a cheap grace of God. Now, many of them say that it's by grace and grace alone and not by works. Well, you read Revelation 2 and 3, then ask yourself the question, why does Jesus say to the seven churches, I know your works, and we will be judged by our works, and we are to keep his works unto the end? Now then, think about the one who comes and says, the law is done away. You don't have to keep it. Let's read this. Verse 3, chapter 2, 1 John. By this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, and there are a lot of people who say, I know the Lord. Do you know the Lord, brother? Do you know the Lord, sister? Do you really? What is the proof that you know? Now, verse 4. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It does not say he's accepted of God. Now, think about that. Think about the Apostle John. The Apostle John was the apostle that Jesus loved. The Apostle John was the one that Jesus chose to finalize the canonization of the New Testament. These are the words of God. Think about it. Read that again. The one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, now think about that. The whole message of Jesus Christ, all the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that unless we repent, there is no salvation. And unless we forsake our way, as Isaiah said, then we won't come to Christ. Christ wants us, but we have to come to him, and he will come to us. It's like Isaiah said, we have to forsake our thoughts and forsake our ways. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one the love of God is being perfected. Now think about that verse. That is so profound. By this means we know that we are in him. Now these three verses are so absolutely important in understanding. How do we have God help us? What must our attitude be? What must we be seeking continually? Now notice verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in him, think about this, is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. That is the standard. That's how we know God will help us. That's how we know that God will be with us. We're all going to be facing a lot of troubles and a lot of difficulties in the future as time rolls on. But we need the help of God, and we need the intervention of God in our lives to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our minds with the washing of the water of the Word. Now that's really important. Let's come back here to Psalm 12. Here's how we need to approach God. You want God's help? Well, here's what David did when he needed help. Notice verse 1, help, O Lord, for the godly man ceases, sound like the world today, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. That's why we need the help of God. Now let's come to Psalm 20. Psalm 20 is a wonderful psalm. Now you might want to turn there and memorize these five important mays. Verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set you on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. And today, those are accept your attitude, your heartfelt prayers, and your loving God. Verse 4, may he grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all of your plans, that is, provided that they are in accord with the will of God. Verse 5, we will shout for joy in your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your prayers. Now notice verse 6. This is what you want. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. Now when you're baptized, receive the Holy Spirit of God, you are counted as anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, O Lord, let the king hear us when we call. Okay, that's how God will help us. Take these scriptures and other scriptures. Go to cbcg.org and you look at the sermons that are there. God always accepts godly repentance. And there are many other things there on cbcg.org that you need. So the place you can begin is, first of all, order the book, Lord, what should I do? And order the baptism book, The True Christian Baptism. What is it and why do you need it? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.